I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jim Trotter from NFL Network has been all over this topic. We had him on recently talking about some of this, and he joins us now to give us the inside access on what he thinks the NFL will do to try to fix the problem they have. And, Jim, we've talked to a bunch of people since this story leaked about incentivizing the hiring minorities, and I couldn't find one person that liked it. Did you get the same reaction? Did you find anyone that thought this was a good idea?
No, it's not so much that finding people who liked it. What I found were some former head coaches, minority head coaches in the NFL, who said to me, even if you don't like it, you might have to hold your nose and go with it from this standpoint. He said, either you can get your foot in the door or you can keep the door closed. And if you get your foot in the door, at least you can show that you can do the job and you can start to help others climb that ladder. Whereas if you don't get your foot in the door, you've got no chance of you know, improving the situation. So he wasn't saying to me that he liked it, but he was saying he understood why sometimes you have to take drastic measures for progress. And he felt that this was one of those situations where, if anything, you just kind of hold your nose and you go with it. But as you said, the overwhelming majority of minority coaches, both current head coaches, former head coaches, aspiring head coaches, as well as personnel people that I've talked to, obviously did not like this resolution, because on the one hand, it put the league in a bad light and showed that, you know, sent the message that the only way that owners would consider hiring a minority is if you bribe them. And on the other hand, from the coach's standpoint, it put a scarlet letter on them that if they're hired, they were only hired because of the color of their skin. So that's kind of where we are right now. And where we go from here is going to be quite interesting.
Well, but the stuff that we know was passed, though, I feel like that is certainly a step in the right direction, allowing for more upward mobility and fluidity with position coaches to not be held back from interviewing for coordinating jobs. We no longer, you know, hopefully have this label of, well, this guy was the quote-unquote Rooney Rule interview for that job, because these searches have to be more diverse in nature now. I feel like that's progress. What do you think, Jim?
No, I absolutely think there were a lot of positives that came out of yesterday. As you say, passing the resolution that, for the first time since, as far back as I could research it, the mid-90s, that assistant coaches will now be able to interview for coordinators' jobs, that's huge. And the commissioner even injected himself into that, stating in the resolution that if there is a disagreement between the clubs over the validity of the position, because, as you know, sometimes teams would try and play with titles to get someone off a different staff, that now the commissioner will review it and he will have the final say on whether or not it is a bona fide position, and his ruling will be binding and non-reviewable. So that's important. The other thing that was critical, and I think people have conflated these two things. They think the resolutions are part of the Rooney Rule, and they are not. The Rooney Rule is something that can be imposed by the league office. It does not require a vote of the owners. And so what the league did on its own is say, we are going to enhance the Rooney Rule and say, now you must interview a minimum of two minorities for any head coaching or GM positions. And also, for the first time ever, we are going to apply the Rooney Rule to the coordinator position. And also, the league now has a commitment from all 32 clubs to create a fellowship where each team will have a minority fellow who will be in the quarterback's room. And that's important because we know owners, during this recent trend, have been looking for head coaches who have associations with the quarterback, either as a position coach or as an offensive coordinator.
It's Inside Access with Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. We're talking with Jim Trotter from NFL Network. And Jim, 2007, we had Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy, African-American coaches, going up against each other. It almost feels like we've gone backwards since then. Why?
No, it's not. Well, it's not. It doesn't feel like it. We have gone backwards. I mean, the four minority head coaches at this point, that matches a 17-year low, you know, for the league. So there's no appearance. The league has gone backwards, and that's why it's so concerned about what's happening.
Why? I guess the question is, why have we gone backwards? Is
that's
there
the
one
question.
Answer?
We're all, yeah, no, it's a great question. We're all trying to answer that. Look, I think a couple things are going on here. I think, number one, as Tony Dungy said to me when I interviewed him for a story last year, owners do not know how to hire head coaches, because what's the one thing we hear every hiring cycle immediately when that Monday rolls around? Who are the hot candidates? And the first questions that an owner should be asking him or herself is, what am I looking for in a head coach? Do I want someone with experience, or do I want someone who's fresh? Do I want someone who's older, or someone who's younger? Do I want someone from the offensive side, the defensive side, special teams? Do I want someone who's hands-on? Do I want someone who delegates? Do I want someone who is more charismatic, or do I want someone who is more, you know, understated? All these sorts of things you should ask yourself and have an answer for before you ever say who are the hot candidates. Because if all you're doing is going off the trends of who are the hot candidates, more than likely you're going to fail. And what we have learned about owners in recent years is that they are much better at firing coaches than they are at hiring coaches. Because since 2000, on average, every year, we have had a turnover of seven head coaches. And that alone should tell owners your business model is flawed and what you're doing is flawed. The other thing I would suggest is that owners stop relying on search firms. Do the due diligence yourself. Search firms, what they do, many of them, they go out and they start talking to other NFL people about, what do you think of this guy? What does he bring to the table? All these sorts of things. And then the search firm takes that information back to an owner. Excuse me. If an owner were to ask those questions, him or herself, of these football people, I think they would have a much better feeling for these men before they sit down with them at an interview. And really, that's the only interaction they've had with these men.
Jim, I'd like to get your opinion of something we've been talking about here. And it was actually this proposal was actually brought up by Bobby DePaul, former longtime NFL executive. We're always talking about from the ground up. Well, what about from the top down? What about incentivizing an ownership group, giving them an additional compensatory pick, who sell 10% or more of their franchise to a minority owner who might have a right to purchase the whole thing down the line? What about incentivizing the team president's role, getting people of color and diverse backgrounds into positions to shape the entire franchise and hire football people and non-football people? How about incentivizing that? And saying you get an additional second-round compensatory pick or a third-round compensatory pick if you go ahead and do something like that, which unfortunately in this league is virtually unprecedented. We had Kevin Warren with the Vikings, who was kind of that team president for a while, but he's now with the Big Ten.
Yeah, you said it right. He was kind of. The fact is, in the history of this league, there has never been an African-American club president. Never. 101 years now. There has never been one. So no question that's an issue. As it relates to ownership, the problem here is, even if you were to sell, say, 10% of your team to a minority owner, the way the rules are structured now for purchasing a club, it excludes an awful lot of people, and particularly minorities, because what do we know? We know that if you're going to purchase a franchise, you have to be able to write a check for 30% of the value of that franchise. And that's not your ass saying you have assets to total that and whatnot. You have to literally be able to write a check for that amount of money. So conservatively, let's say, we know the Panthers sold for what, $2.4 billion, I believe? Let's say the next franchise sells for $3 billion. Who out there, how many people out there can sit down and write a check for $900 million to purchase that franchise? I don't know of many people, and I don't know of many people of color, which isn't to say they're not out there, but I just don't know of them. So from that standpoint, the rules for purchasing a franchise, to some extent, impact who is able to buy a club and who isn't. because it doesn't, I got a kick out of when the Panthers were for sale and people were talking about, you know, Puffy and Steph Curry and these folks, even Jay-Z, buying the Panthers. And I said, look, these are wealthy men, but not that kind of wealthy where you sit down and write a $900 million check.
Jim, before we let you go, I've been doing some unscientific polling, asking our guests, the football guests, about their confidence level on football coming back. Jason's about a 6 out of 10, correct? I'm an 8 out of 10. Amy Trask was on yesterday. She was at a 6. Pete Prisco on earlier today, he says 100%.
He was a 50 out of 10. Pete wants to play games right now. He wants to play
Jim, where are you right now in your confidence level of football coming back?
I think we're going to have football. I just don't know what it's going to look like. I think that the NFL will take its lead from these other leagues if they open up. So, for instance, you know, we've heard about baseball potentially having a quote-unquote spring training in June and then opening the season in July. I think if that were to happen and there were no hiccups, I think no question NFL would continue on schedule. But I think if baseball or even basketball were to have some sort of hiccup, I think that would impact what the NFL does. You know, everything I've heard is that you know, obviously the league has said it's making contingency plans. And my understanding from talking to some owners is that in theory, they could wait until November or December to even start a season. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I do believe at some point we are going to have games. I don't know if there'll be fans or not, but I do believe we'll have games.
Jim Trotter, NFL Network. Jim, excellent reporting
Great work, man.
And thank you so much for your time.
No, I appreciate you guys having me.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.